I'm gonna ring the bell shortly and we'll be good to go. Okay. Well, one of them doesn't usually get here until after the hymn sing part. Please don't be happy. Somebody else just pulled in.
Good afternoon. It's good to be back. For those of you who have never been here when I'm here, I'm Susan Tierney. I bring you greetings from your sister churches in Weld and Phillips, and it really is good to see your faces. I'm not sure how many people would like to stand. I'm putting this out there. If you would like to stand to sing, I can hear you better. If you would prefer remaining seated, please do. We're going to open with A Church in the Wildwood. It's page 367 in your hymnal.
Oh,
been here for all of COVID time. Please be seated. For all of COVID time. And so I may make mistakes. And if I do, and they are difficult mistakes, wave to me and tell me what I should be doing instead. Okay? I do respond to waving, although it is dark in here. We're going to do the opening prayer responsively. I am the one, you are the many. God gathers us together to love that of God that is in each of us. We gather, bringing the first fruits of our lives and hearts. We gather, anxious and willing to learn what it is God will do with such a varied and colorful harvest.
We search our hearts to find the best of who we are, the most like Christ that we can be, and bring it to this place to worship God and welcome God's surprises.
Now we come to the fun part. Who would like to begin? What hymn shall we start? Yes, ma'am.
515, I hope. Yes.
Yes.
I will be a sunbeam. Verses 1 and 4. What was the page?
515. I will be a sunbeam. Verses.
But
11 to round it out.
215, first and last.
215, first and last. I love to tell the story. Two, one, five. I'm sorry, I should be louder. By you.
Thank you.
Number 3, 2, 6.
We sang this in thoughts.
We did. It's a good song to rock to. So if you feel like rocking, you can stand for this one.
Sweet, glad love.
Thank you. Now, usually in the Phillips Church, when we begin the prayers for the people, we have Marie. So, Marie,
yes.
We will pray for you. You will be on the prayer list. Well, I think that's true for everybody. But you, Jenny?
Prayers for one of our trustees, Steve, who's undergoing heart surgery sometime very soon. I don't know exactly when. But his wife was hoping that he'd get home soon. So that's what I think would be the prayer on her behalf. And I would also pray for his comfort and peace of mind.
Yes. Do you know how soon?
I don't. I know we had a stent put in this week. I don't even know what day that was. She just emailed me yesterday to say he's there. So, and he's got to still have something else done, and just pray that it goes well and that he gets home soon.
Waiting is hard.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who else should we be holding in prayer? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to pray for a dear friend and co-worker of mine that passed away last week. I pray that God brings her to eternal healthy life. I also pray for her husband and her family to find comfort during these coming months.
Yes. Can you give us a name?
Liz Smith.
Thank you. Yes.
For John Mitchell, former rector of St. Luke's in Farmington, he was diagnosed recently with incurable cancer, and he's in his final days. Wonderful man, serving the Lord.
Prayer for John Mitchell and his family and friends. I wish we were leaving them a more comfortable world. Who else? Anyone else on your heart today? Yes.
Also, another deceased family member that died last week, Deborah Sargent. I can't remember her married name, but she actually, her father, grandfather, grew up here and attended this church at one time.
Her last name is Waddle. W-A-D-D-L-E.
W-A-D-D-L-E. L-E.
He is a David.
I got that part.
Okay.
It was the maiden name that I lost.
Sergeant.
Okay, thank you. All those saints surrounding us. Thank you. If you think of someone, I don't know about you, but frequently I lose the thought when I need it and it comes to me later. If it comes to you later, interrupt me. We gather for prayer. So I have here a pastoral prayer, keeping in mind the people for whom we pray, for Marie's continuing recovery, For Steve, as he faces heart surgery, and for his wife, who is very anxious, both about the success of their surgery and about getting him home. For the family of and friends of Liz Smith, for the family and friends and former congregants of the Reverend John Mitchell, for old folks and children of this community and of the world, that they may experience grace. For the family of Deborah Sargent Waddle, who has old connections to this church, and to all your forerunners who have sat in these pews and made it possible for you to continue to sit here, and for us to continue to come back to your pulpit. Let us pray. Creator and Father of all that is, Brother Jesus, generous Spirit of truth, create in us the ability to be amazed at your works, to see truth where others see misty old dreams. Teach us to reach out from our small reality to bring your big dreams into being. Help us to be kind and merciful, just and peace-bringing. Give us compassion for those who are ill or alone or frightened, for all who mourn, as well as for those whose needs are more concrete, for those who hunger or are homeless, for children of poverty, for those who have the diseases of addiction or hopelessness, for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, for those who await tests or procedures and live in anxiety and hope. Give us eyes to see beneath the unattractiveness of poverty, the diffidence of those who have been oppressed, the anger of those who grieve. Give us your eyes, O Christ, that we may see the truth in each person, your ears that we may hear the truth beneath the stories, your hands that we may tirelessly work to patch up the broken, help the lame to walk, and carry justice into the dark places. We pray these things in the name of the one God for whom all things are possible, and who stoops to use human disciples to bring enough where it is needed. Use us, we pray, O Lord. Amen. Please join me. We say the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the back of our churches. So I'm reminding you to, if you are so moved, leave your offering there in the basket. We ask God to bless these offerings, to bless those of us who give, and those causes for which we take our offerings, we ask that the blessing extend to the communities of people who benefit from both our giving and their receiving. Please stand, we'll sing the doxology.
Responsive reading. It's the Psalm chapter 145, verses 10 through 18. I will start with the first verse and ask that you all respond in the bold verses. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you.
They tell the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
So that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does.
The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give.
You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The next reading is from John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they had intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then when they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Just suppose for a moment that the miracle of the loaves and fishes, which we know is a sign that Jesus is God, happened in a different way than we have heard before. The way we've mostly heard this story is that Jesus, because he is God, made something from nothing. Well, almost nothing. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Became the sign of God's love. Surely Jesus could have done this. Equally certain is it that he would have wanted the 5,000 men and all their children and all their women to be fed before their long walk back to their villages. As John and Mark tell us, he had compassion on the crowd. Imagine, however, a different angle. Perhaps a different kind of miracle. Maybe the little boy was not the only one who had brought food. They may have all, or may have some of them, been out shopping for food when they heard the news. Or possibly, as folks who were at home rushed out the door to follow the others to where Jesus was, they grabbed a loaf of bread, or a jar of yogurt, or a bowl of hummus. Just in case. They would not leave home without a skin of wine or a jug of water. Suppose they actually did have food. Even though Philip, in his concern, hadn't actually inquired before he came to speak with Jesus. Jesus, you remember, already knew what it was he was going to do. So first he broke the huge crowd into smaller groups, groups of 50, seating them together on the grass. He made little congregations, if you will. People work better together in congregations. Then once they were settled and ready to listen, Jesus blessed and broke the bread and told his disciples to hand it out. As the apostles slowly worked their way through the little gatherings of 50 people, yes, there were 5,000 men, but there were also women and children among those groups of 50. It could have been that the people who, although they had not volunteered that to Philip, had brought food. Maybe they brought it in baskets. Maybe in these small groups, they began to follow the example set by the little boy. And a little child shall lead them, the Bible said. Slowly, or maybe with excitement at being able to share, folks brought out their own bread or fruit or fish and whatever else they had grabbed on their way out to see Jesus. Probably there was wine. Surely they brought water. By putting together what they had and sharing it all around, everyone was fed. There were 12 baskets, and there are those baskets again, left over. And we don't know who took them home. But we expect that they were shared out with the story when people reached their villages. All were fed. We know this. We know the boy had the bread and the fish. We know that Jesus gave the blessing, and no matter how it happened, we know that a wonder came about in Jesus blessing the bread, sharing out the endless, immeasurable gift of God's love. If this potluck story rings at all true for you, you appreciate the immensity of the miracle that Jesus performed among those people that day. And all of us, every day, we know that sharing is hard for us, and we're always reluctant to be the first to do it. Jesus opened up the kingdom of God and revealed God's intention that all should be fed, be filled right up with plenty left over. Not just of bread, but of all the things that God has made for our use and pleasure. Because of our human nature, we often seem closed to the idea of this hillside sign. It's easier to imagine divine intervention than a sharing picnic. We prefer to imagine a miracle happened here that can never happen again. Oh, we love this story, but we do not imagine how, in practice, everyone could have enough. We are fearful that someone, maybe us, maybe our family, someone might go hungry if everyone is fed. We fear not leftovers, but scarcity. Yet truly, God's good creation overflows with plenty. There's more than enough for our uses, and there's more than enough left over. For all who come to God's table are fed, always. Jesus sets God's table here, out in the world, just as he set it in those fields that day, giving the world, giving us a glimpse of the kingdom of God on earth. We can shake our heads. We can say, well, it was a miracle. Only Jesus could do it. It was a one-time thing. And then we walk away clinging to our own loaf of bread. Or we can rejoice in the kingdom of God and share out what we have and trust that God really has made enough for us, even for us to have leftovers. May it be so. Feels like it's too soon to stop. Our closing hymn today is Count Your Blessings. And I don't think it's the Lawrence Welk version, but that's what's playing in my head. Number 516. Right after, I'll be a sunbeam.
Many.
sing in group. It's been a blessing for us to gather today. Thank you so much for letting Pat and me be part of your worship. May you be blessed to have enough of all the things you need. And may you be blessed enough to reach out from that enough with those 12 baskets over to those who are in need. May the good Lord hold you in the palm of his hand and bring you home at the end rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.